Where you want to open your Bible to this morning? I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled "God and Children." God and children. It's amazing what all the Bible has got to say about young'uns, and it's amazing how God feels about them. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, why do I? Maybe it's just me, but why do I feel that way? You know, you don't think about it much. Yet, God had a young'un of His own. Why wouldn't He love them? Why wouldn't He be interested in them? I mean, after all, He gave His only begotten Son. And so, I got to looking. And the Lord really is interested in children. And I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes this morning. Now, you don't have to be a brain surgeon. You don't have to be a nuclear physicist. You don't have to be as smart as me to look around and know that the young people of this country are in bad shape. From K-2 and 3, right on up. It's just what we're doing to them, what we're teaching them, it just staggers the mind what we have let the professionals, the educators, the National Education Association, NEA, and the federal government brainwash our children. And what's as bad or worse is how adults who have children have bought in to the philosophy and the mindset of the NEA and the federal government. Young people today do not have the same work ethic you and I had. They do not have the same moral code that we were brought up with. The sense of independence and individual responsibility, it has all been but obliterated from American society. And the generation that we have out there now don't have a work ethic, don't have a personal moral code, see nothing wrong with the most brazen, ungodly wickedness, homosexuality, all those kind of things, the dependence on others, the mindset that if I want it, I deserve it, and you owe it to me, and therefore total dependence upon the United States government. That's where the young people are at today. And we've let it happen in the media and the educational institution and governmental philosophy, and the other big contributing factor is the apathy and the indifference of mom and dads who have abdicated their responsibility to teach and train their own children to another. And we're in a mess. We're in a real mess. We are this close to losing our country right this minute. And this next generation, if we don't reach for God, we won't lose it. They'll hand it over. Therefore, I'm in a difficult place. I won't rant and rave. But for your sakes, I will contain myself so that I make sense. The Bible said in Psalm 127 verse 3, you don't need to turn there. I'm going to read it for you verbatim right out of the King James Bible. Psalm 127 3 said, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Let's pray. Father, we thank You now for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for this blessed opportunity to stand and preach, to declare the whole counsel of God. And I pray, oh God, the Holy Spirit might move in and remove me and speak through us and in spite of us. And may the words said and the Scripture quoted lodge in the heart of the hearer and bring about a change in our thinking and our attitude and our actions. Lord, may we just not hear and say yea and amen, but may we go forth and put into practice those things You speak to our heart about. We'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Everywhere you go, you run across young people from the very, very young to the upper middle 20s. Now, when I was a boy, by the time you were in your middle 20s, you're supposed to be married and have a younger or two. And now they're just deciding whether or not to make that commitment at 23, 24, and 25. They've been sleeping together and playing man and wife for years. But they just haven't felt compelled or needed to make that commitment. I don't understand a thing I just said. When I was growing up, everything was about commitment. We're in a frightful time. Our children are... Their heads are full of rock and roll and heavy metal and rap. And that's some dirty stuff, man. I don't know how you listen to that stuff. But they're all about partying and hanging and chilling and hooking up and, you know. I don't understand any of that either. Chilling. We're just chilling. We're hanging out. Well, you're not hanging. You're sitting on your lazy butt. What do you mean hanging out? We went down to the mall and hooked up. What does that mean? Anyway, you can see I'm perplexed. Our country going to hell in a handbasket. Amen. The nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. Amen. Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil. Woe, woe, W-O-E, that's a Bible word. That's for an anathema. That means stand by, look out, Katie, bar the door. God's going to drop the bomb on your lazy butt. That's what that, when you see that woe, back up, take a second look. Amen. You don't want God woeing on you. I'll tell you that right now. You go out in public and you see, we were out doing some looking around yesterday, getting some prices, messing around, just fiddling here and there. And saw these kids going down through the appliance section of one of them big box stores. And they're just stopping and opening doors and dropping them and flipping them and banging them shut. And they're not an adult anywhere in sight. There's three kids. And they were probably between 6 and 10 and 11, 12, somewhere around in there. And they're just running and playing and going all through the store, just messing with stuff and fiddling with stuff. And I thought, where's Mom and Daddy? Yeah. Well, I tell you what, they took them to that big box store and turned them loose so Mom and Daddy could go do their thing without being distracted by them little monsters they can't control. Because Mom and Daddy won't take them in the bathroom and spank their butt. They don't even tell them no anymore. They just walk off and let them vandalize the store for 30 or 45 minutes. And then they hook up with them again. Put them in the back of their SUV and turn on the cartoons to pacify them. They call that parenting. We're in a mess. I mean, a real, genuine, certified mess. And nowadays, we have all kind of options, you know. If you find yourself in a family way, married or unmarried, doesn't make any difference. You can elect to terminate. Doctors have become terminators. You say, well, I don't want this baby. And before it becomes real and human, and while it's just a fetus, and while it's just a mass of tissue, we'll just eliminate it, we'll scrap it. And they go in and they terminate it. And everybody feels good about it. Now they don't have an unwanted mouth to feed. Well, you should have thought about that before you got mopped up, lady. By the way, there's no excuse for getting in a family way these days. Just terminate them. So we terminate about 1 million or so every year. And of course, the roles down at the local psychiatrist wards, mental wards in the hospitals and the clinics are filling up because now we've got to deal with all these women who have guilt. Now, we've done everything we could to remove the stigma of guilt. Don't feel guilty about shacking up. Don't feel guilty about being queer or lesbian. Don't feel guilty about murdering your unborn baby. But we can't legislate it away. You've noticed that, haven't you? That's why we've got an increase in alcoholism and suicide and a whole bunch of other stuff. But if you're going to have a baby, just kill it and go on about you. And if you decide to have it, you've still got options. You don't have to raise it. You don't have to be responsible. You can put it up for adoption and feel good about yourself. Well, at least I didn't abort it. No, but you didn't raise it either, you creep. Amen. You had it! And you got all these miserable slime balls that pretend they're men and there's no manhood in them. Who will take advantage of a girl and use her for recreation and then throw her aside. And feel no responsibility and no obligation to care for and take care of the life they brought into this world. Miserable, sorry, good-for-nothing piece of trash. Just recreation. You know. And there's just any number of ways to handle it and still feel good about yourself. I'm a good person. I mean, you're a slime ball. Amen. Now, this is just an introduction. I'm just hang on. It's really going to get nasty in a minute. And so, around the world and in the USA, Christian America, we have all these distorted, unscriptural, ungodly, wicked, hellish ideas and philosophies about children and how to raise them or not raise them. And we spend more money now than we've ever spent in the history of the world on getting people to be good parents. We have books on parenting skills and how to raise them. And of course, most of it's written by a bunch of liberal, left-wing, socialist weenies, you know. Most of them books ain't worth the paper they're printed on. They contradict God and God's philosophy on raising kids, and you know they can't be right. Amen. But ain't nobody going to go by God's book either. Dobson or one of them guys wrote a book a few years ago called Tough Love. I thought, that ought to be plagiarism. Here's the original book on tough love. We're in a mess. And it's getting worse by the day. Of course, nowadays, you know, we're more educated, we're more enlightened. We've got resources that we didn't used to have. And so now parents talk about they're involved in their children's lives. And what they mean is they're living their life vicariously through their youngin'. Amen. And they're trying to do the things they never got to do and go the places they never got to go. And they're not letting their children live their lives. They're actually living their lives through their children. I believe in being involved in your children's lives. That means watching who they're with, watching where they go, watching what they watch, watching what they hear. See? But that don't mean I got to participate and get mentally involved and connected with their friends and their relationship. Let them live their own life. I had mine. I'm just going to watch them and stay committed and stay involved in the sense that I'm going to steer them out of trouble and protect them. Amen. Well, or you got parents who have abdicated the throne, and now it's up to the school and the TV to raise their kids. You got a lot of little youngins these days raised by Sesame Street, which is a socialist, anti-creationist, evolutionist mindset kind of a thing. But they feel good about themselves because they only let their kids watch the best trash on TV. We're in a mess. Now I could go on and I could spend a long time here. But for your sake, I'm going to move on. God has written a book, and in this book He told us some things. So I want to share with you this morning. This is not from the National Education Association. This is not from NBC, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, CCCBMB, or Fox, or any of the rest of them. What I'm going to give you is straight out of the book. It is old. It is tried. It is proven. I'm going to give you what really works. And I want to tell you how God feels about the whole thing. Amen. So we're going to be here a while. First thing is, children are a gift from God. You need to understand that. You ought to be careful about saying, "Was my kid this and my kid that, and I'm going to do this with my kids and I'm going to do that with my kids." And they're a gift from God. You better remember where you got them from. Amen. Not only are they a gift from God, they are the Lord's reward. You see, them young'uns never quit being, in a special sense, God's. And if you're saved by God's grace, you're supposed to raise them little tykes for Jesus. Amen. So, well, I'm going to do this with them, and I'm going to do that with them. No, sir! You know what I did? Used to, people would come, they'd have a little old baby, and they'd say, "Preacher, we want to dedicate our baby to the Lord." Now, that's good. And I did that for three or four. They'd say, "We want to give our baby to the Lord. We want to dedicate him to the Lord." Now, I've got a sermon where I dedicate them. And I don't even mention a young'un. I talk to mom and daddy. Because that young'un don't know nothing about what's going on. They're not committing anything. They're not dedicating anything. Mom and daddy. And so I spend about 45 minutes just nailing mom and daddy's butt to the floor about how they're supposed to raise them kids for God. And of all the ones I ever did, none of them ever did it. And I got to think, I said, "I'm not being part of this anymore." So I quit doing it. I had a couple of folks get mad. They said, "We want you to do a dedication service." I said, "No. And I'm not going to do yours either. And you can get mad about it. I don't care." Amen. You want to dedicate them to God? Get in your prayer closet sometime. Get on your face and give them to God. Help yourself. But don't make me a partaker of your negligence. Children are a gift from the Lord. Buddy, you ever notice that where a thing comes from or who gives a thing, a lot of times is what makes a thing important or desirable or special. Amen. Now, I've had people give me things over the years, not very often. I really do try to discourage it. I know a lot of preachers take everything they can get, and I've always discouraged that. But God's people have been good to me and given me stuff over the years, and I am thankful for it. But I have received some things in my lifetime from people that are really special. And not because they're worth a lot, because the honest truth is a lot of the things that I treasure the most didn't cost much. But it was who gave it and the why that they gave it that has made that thing special, and I keep that little token, I keep that little treasure because of why they gave it and who did the giving. Children are an heritage from the Lord. Who gave the children? God gave them. And why did God give them? Because God loves you. They're in heritage. They're an inheritance from the Lord. That means your children are to be super special. Not just because you were the sperm donor, or not because you were the provider of the egg, but because God Almighty blessed you with that miracle that ended in the production of another human being that is absolutely and totally unique in the history of the world. There has never, ever been another one like that one. And this is your baby, and it is your gift from God, and therefore it is uniquely special above all other gifts that God can give. Bless God, you ought to love them little tykes. And when you love them, you ought to take care of them and provide for them. And put your life on hold. I'm so sick and tired of hearing trashy, stupid little mamas and daddies saying, well, I got to live my own life too. No, you don't. Ask any mom and daddy that ever raised young'uns and done a good job of it. They just, in practical sense, put their life on hold to take care of them young'uns. I didn't wear nice clothes because I had to take the money to put clothes and shoes on baby's feet. And I didn't eat out at nice restaurants. I stayed home and ate nice home cooking because I had to buy groceries to feed them little mouths. And I didn't go on nice vacations and go here and go there because I was paying school bills to put them in private Christian school so they could be taught right. Amen? Now, God still gave us a good life. I'm not complaining. But I'm here to tell you, son, there's just a lot of things you're not going to do and a lot of places you're not going to go and a lot of things you ain't going to have. You got young'un, you put them first. Amen? If you didn't want to do that, you shouldn't have had them in the first place. Point number two. Now I only have 5 points. Point number two. Children are not to be aborted. Now listen to this. Exodus chapter 21, verse 22. This is Bible. I'm going to read this. I'm not making this up. This is not my interpretation. I'm just going to read it. This is what God said. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, they're not going to hurt a woman with fetus. They're not going to hurt a woman with a mass of tissue. If they strive and hurt a woman with child. As far as God's concerned, if it's in your belly, lady, it's a young'un. Amen. So when did that start? At the moment of conception. Amen? If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart, she aborts. Men were fighting, and somehow she got in the middle of it, and they knocked her down or whatever it was, and she aborts the young'un. This is an accidental thing. This is not on purpose. This is not paid for by your insurance company. This is not part of Obamacare. This was an accident. Two men are fighting, they're striving together, and they hit her or whatever, and she has an abortion, she loses the child. Then they are to be punished. You say it was an accident. God said, I don't care. I didn't say that. God said that. You say, well, we didn't mean to. It was an accident. God said, you're going to get punished for it anyhow. You should have been more careful. There was a lady here with a precious life from God in her belly. You didn't have the right to be negligent or careless and take that life. And you're to be punished for it. Now, what it goes on. So that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, she shall be surely be punished, as the husband or the judges declare. Verse 23, and if any mischief follow, that is the baby dies, if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Well, that's radical. What does that mean? That means if you take that woman who is with child and you kill that unborn baby, you're a murderer. That's what that means. Now, I know what Dr. Ruckman teaches. And I saw young theologians died in the wool, Dr. Ruttmanites. And I love Dr. Rutt too. I do. But he's just dead wrong about that man. That mass of tissue in that lady's womb is a human being. It's a little miniature human being. And if you kill it, you killed a human being. And the punishment for killing human beings, death. First degree murder. Capital murder. Death. And you didn't. You don't go in there and cut that baby out of that woman's womb and suck it into little pieces and flush it down the drain accidentally. You did it on purpose and you're a killer. And by the way, I'm not advocating anybody go out here and bomb abortion clinics and kill abortion doctors. That's not the way to handle it. We're a civilized nation and we have laws and we can vote and protest and all that. We're not advocating any kind of violence. But I am advocating, bless God, we ought to do some protesting and some marching about that thing. And we ought to let our voice be known and we ought to work as hard as we can to get that law changed because they're murdering about 1 million little babies every year. Well, God's not in that. God's against it.
Amen.
Number 3. Children need to be trained. This is God. This is how God sees it. This is God's position. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from him. God said, train him. Train him. Now, I thought about that. I'm a teacher. That's what I did for a living. In the Navy, the last few years I was in, I taught school. I taught jet engine theory, propulsion theory, basic hydraulics, and theory of flight. All that math stuff, that's what I did. I did that for a living. I know something about teaching. That's why I do this so well. Now, training is more than just teaching a lesson. You know, when I taught school, we had a curriculum. And we'd bring them little old boys in there, their heads were empty, didn't know nothing. And we'd set them down, and we'd teach them stuff. We'd make them read books, and we'd read books to them. And we'd discuss stuff, and then we'd give them tests to make sure they got the concept and all that. And I'm not one of these people, I don't think you have any kind of learning unless you can demonstrate you got it. Amen? All these people that want to do away with testing stuff, they're just nuts. They're just nuts. And so we'd test them, and when we felt like they had it, you know what we did? We'd take them out, and we'd give them a jet engine. And then we let them work on what we've been telling them. So what are you doing? Well, we're training them. We're teaching them some, and then we're demonstrating some, and the whole process collectively is called training. There were a lot of aspects to training. Amen? And there are a lot of aspects to training up a child. And there's not much training going on these days. I'm sick and tired. I was in a place the other day, and this is just an example. This illustrates a principle. And this lady had two little young'uns, and it's just cute as they could be. But boy, they was rotten as the devil himself. And they were into everything. And they were pulling stuff. I was in the fast food place getting me a Mountain Dew. Not a fast food, a convenience store. Getting me a Mountain Dew. My wife lets me have one a day. I get me one a day. As long as I got $1.41, bless God, I'm getting one. Anyway, I'm in there getting me a Mountain Dew. And these little tykes are over there, and they're pulling the cashew nuts off the little thing, and they're pulling little potato chip things out, and they're throwing them all over the place. And that mama looked over there, and she said, "Now quit that." And she went back to her, and of course they didn't quit it. And they got stuff all over the place. And if you'd have said anything to her, she, you know what she'd say? She'd say, "Well, I told them not to. I told them." "Well, I know you did, Mommy, but you didn't make them. And children only do what you make them do. I told them don't cut it." "Well, I'm not responsible. I told them not to." That's like putting a teenage boy and a teenage girl in a car and letting them go 3 hours away from home after dark all by themselves and telling them, now, don't y'all do anything. You're not supposed to. And then she comes up pregnant. You say, well, we told them. Idiot. You got the sense God gave a brass monkey. You could have told me anything you wanted to when I was a teenage boy. It wouldn't have amounted to a hill of beans. Somebody say amen right there. Now, here's some things you ought to teach your children. Number one, you ought to teach them to obey. That's found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey. That is, when I say quit, bless God, you. When I say don't, you don't. When I say do, you do. If I say jump, you jump. And the only thing you say is, hi, hi, Papa.
Amen.
Amen. Obedience is one of the greatest things you ever taught your children. Listen, a young that won't obey mama and daddy have a hard time obeying the law. A young that won't obey mama and daddy have a hard time obeying the teacher. Amen. Now, if you've got a young that won't obey mama and daddy and they won't obey the policeman and they don't want to obey the teacher, you really think they're going to obey God? You are spiritually detrimental to your children if you don't teach them to obey. Well, I told them, that's not enough. Make them. Make. You said, well, we'd have to fight World War III. Okay. Fight World War III and do me one favor. Make doggone sure you win.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't no 4, 5, 6 year old on this planet going to beat me.
Amen.
I will win. I will win. I will win. I will win. They will lose. They will lose. You bet your booties, they will lose. Idea of a 4, 5, 6 year old young'un running the house. I got to ask, now what do y'all want to do? When you get a place of your own, you can decide what you want to do. As long as you're under this roof, I will decide.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so barbaric. Yeah, but it works, man. It works. Teach them to obey. Number two under point number three. Children must be ruled. Now that's a concept we've forgotten. We find the idea of ruling somebody an ugly and hateful kind of a thing. But in the Bible, in Ephesians or in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, fathers are told to rule their children. Amen. That means this is a, I hate to bring this up. I ain't have a friend in the house. That means mama and daddy are the boss. And daddy in particular is the boss. You got the A boss and the B boss. The presidente and the vice presidente. Amen? And the presidente may delegate to the vice presidente, but ultimately the presidente is responsible. Amen? And what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to rule them young'uns. That means when I say something, that's the end of that. Now, if I call you in and we discuss it and this, that, and the other, and I get your opinion, I listen to Mama and I listen to everybody else, and we discuss it. But that ultimate decision is mine. For better or for worse, for right or wrong, good or bad, I'm going to answer to God for it. And if I'm going to answer to God for it, you're going to do it my way. Have y'all ever noticed that we don't have a democracy here in our church? That we don't have any boards or panels? Or committees. Now sometimes I talk to Brother Lewis. Sometimes I talk to Brother Tommy. Sometimes I talk to different men about this, that, and the other. And I get a little input here and there. But you know who answers to this thing when the judgment day comes? I do. And if you think I'm going to answer for it and let you run it, you absolutely have lost your mind. Amen. I'm going to rule the church. I'm going to rule my kids. And when I can't rule them, when they become unrulable, they can just hit the door. Well, I just could never do that to my kids. Well, you just dumber than a brick. Need to rule them. Number three, they need to be disciplined. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. You need to discipline your children. And by the way, that don't always mean kicking the mud out of them. Amen. There's a lot to discipline besides corporal punishment. You can teach your children to be disciplined when it comes time to eat breakfast. Now here's a 2-year-old kid got a bowl this big and fills it plumb full of cornflakes. Why'd you do that? Well, I just wanted them. And of course, he's going to eat about 3 or 4 bites and quit. Amen. You can discipline your children. You train that child that I'm only this big and I can only eat that much and I'm not putting more in that bowl than I can eat. That's a form of discipline. Self-control. Self-discipline. Amen. You teach your children you don't listen to rock and roll music. Amen. And every time you catch them at it or their friends are at it, you take appropriate steps to inflict pain. And then they learn that there's certain things they're not supposed to listen to. I can listen to this station and this station and this station, but I can't listen to that and that and that and that and that. Amen? And so, buddy, as long as they think you're anywhere around, they listen to this and this and this. That's self-discipline. Amen? You think I know they don't cheat? They all cheat. Dr. Howes used to say there's no such thing as a spiritual teenager. I believe that. And I'm hurrying. Just so much I'd like to say. God wants children to be trained. He wants them to be taught to obey. He wants them to be ruled. He wants them to be properly disciplined. But God also warns us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 to be careful not to provoke them. You know, you can be so stern and so gun barrel straight and so unwavering that children are discouraged and become despondent, or they get angry and become rebellious. Now, that's when you've done your job poorly. And so there is a fine line between being firm enough and strong enough, or being weak and washy, or being overbearing and tyrannical, and you can ruin them both ways. And thus, God, you better pray and work hard to do it right. And if you think you're going to get it right all the time, you're out of your ever-loving mind. I'm here to tell you right now, you ain't going to walk that line that straight that long. Amen. You're going to get some right and you're going to get some wrong. And that's the reason I never criticize parents for the decisions they made. Because I figure at the time they thought they was doing the best. And I look at it and say, man, he really blew it there. I was a stupid. I would have never done that. But you don't know what he was thinking or what the circumstances was. Best thing you do is back off and leave it alone. Amen. I'm moving on. Y'all ready for this? Get your Bible, if you would, please. And open it to Deuteronomy. Now, we're talking about training children. We're talking about teaching children, are we not? All right, so I want you to turn back in Deuteronomy to chapter 6. Deuteronomy. Now, most of y'all got, the ones of y'all what got young'uns and grand young'uns, this, that, and the other, they know who all the pop singers are. Amen. They know who all the football, basketball stars are. They, down here in the South, everybody knows who the NASCAR guys are. Even if Dale Earnhardt Jr. does open a series of liquor stores called Whiskey River. And y'all let him be a hero anyway. Amen. He is no role model. Scaggy, scraggy, unkempt looking little reprobate. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look down in verse 6. Now I want you to read this with me. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Ooh, that's a heck of a place to put them. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Oh, you're supposed to teach the Bible to kids. And thou shalt talk of them. Wait a minute. We're getting really carried away here. This is a radical concept. This could amount to brainwashing. Yeah. Amen. Mom and dad are supposed to get it and get it in their own heart. And then they're supposed to teach them to their kids diligently. and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou hast layest down, and when thou rise. You're supposed to talk about God all the time.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you know too much religion will warp your mind, man. It'll make you drive, it'll drive you crazy. Not according to God. Now, the world will think you're crazy. Because you'll think shacking up is a sin. You'll think fornicating is a sin. You'd think homosexuality was an aberration. See? I mean, it'll make you a weirdo out of you. But God will say, oh, glory to God, you got that right. You got that one right. Boy, you're right about that. Now, the world will think you're a screwball. But we don't care what they think anyhow, do we?
Amen.
He said, teach these things to your kids. Get it in your own heart. Then read them to your children. Talk about them to your children when you get up, when you go down, when you're on the highway, when you're on vacation. Turn off the video machine. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. And it... Now wait a minute. There's a reward for this. Look at the next verse. And it shall be when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou findest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. God said, learn my word. Get it in your own heart. Teach it to your children. When they get up, when they go to bed, during the week, put them in Christian school. Make sure they watch Christian TV. Get you a King James Bible on DVD and put it on their flat screen TV and let them watch an hour or two every day. He said, if you'll do that and learn all that stuff and go by my commandments, he said, I'll bless you and fill the treasury up and I'll drive the famine away and drive the enemies from your gate. He said, I bless you. Amen. You want to know why America's in the mess it's in? Because we forgot God, we forgot His commandments, and we ain't teaching nothing. We don't know them ourselves, and we are not teaching it to our children.
Amen.
That's why.
Amen.
Average kid on the street anymore don't know who Daniel and the lion's den is.
Amen.
They don't know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's my shack, your shack, or the bib we go. Amen. They're just ignorant, because we ain't taught them nothing. Now look in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. You want your children to have the best life? You want them to have the heavenly life instead of a hellish life? Teach them the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God. Get it down in their heart. Get them to live for God, and you'll have a nice, decent, sane, quiet country to live in. And if you don't do that, you'll live in a hell hole and a cesspool like we have today.
Amen.
To whose problem is this? Is a mom and daddy problem. That's what this is, buddy. Well, we send them to school. Well, school ain't going to teach them about God.
Amen.
That counselor down at the school is not going to tell your little girl that it's wrong to have premarital sex. They're not going to counsel them that way. They're just going to teach them to be careful. I don't want them to be careful. I don't want them to do it.
Amen.
But I'm going to teach them that drinking whiskey could end up in automobile accidents or alcoholism or all that kind of stuff. They're just going to teach them to be careful and responsible. And the most hypocritical thing in the world is that Smirnoff advertisement that says, drink responsibly. Hey, dumb thump, it's irresponsible to drink! I think me and Louie are the only people that's sane around anymore. I'll tell you something else God thinks about youngins. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Children are to be loved. I'm telling you something. Your youngins ought to know that you love them. You say, well, preacher, you talk about all that discipline and all that training and all that. Listen, if you got the right attitude and the right spirit about it, kids pick up on it just like that. My wife drove a bus for 30 years and she was a strict disciplinarian. Them kids didn't get up. They didn't play. They sit down. They went by the rules. They were quiet and orderly. And them kids love her. She still gets phone calls from mamas and daddies. And she was rough on them. But she did it in a way they knew that she was doing it because it was right and good. And she was doing it because she loved them. And they might not have liked it when it was going down, but they respected her for it and they appreciated it. And I'm here to tell you, if you'll do right and live right and make your kids do right and live right, they may fuss and complain because they're kids and foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But I'm here to tell you, they will love you and respect you if you do it. Your kids are not looking for a friend. They're looking for a mama and a daddy. Amen. Biggest thing children want in their life is stability and dependability. Amen. And last but not least, Lord, I hate having to cut stuff short. It just kills me. I wish I was up for about two and a half hours sometime. Some Sunday morning I come in here, everybody said, preacher, we've been praying about it and God told me today that you could have 2 hours. Man, I just love that. I could have a time. We take a 15-minute break in the middle, you know, and let y'all go to the bathroom, get a drink of water, and come on back, and we just pick up right where we was at. I could spend a long time on this verse right here. Luke chapter 18, verse 16. Children are to be brought to God. That Bible said, but Jesus called unto them and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Now that's not the kingdom of heaven, that literal physical kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. That's that spiritual kingdom within. But Jesus said, bring them to me that they might be part of the kingdom. He said, get them saved. I do not, God knows, I do not understand, I cannot comprehend, I have thought about it and worked on it, and I have dug into the vast resources of an incredible mind, and I cannot for the life of me understand why in the world mamas and daddies who say they're saved and know that there's a heaven and a hell, know that you've got to trust Christ as your Savior, or you're going to perish without God and spend eternity in a devil's hell. Why, that same kind of mom and daddy do not break down the walls of heaven to get their children in church and under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. Why, they will do anything that would discourage their children from coming. I would be in church every Sunday of my life, every Sunday morning, and every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. If I went on vacation, I would find me a Baptist church before I went. And I would be there. There would never be a time when I went to church. I'd have to be sick and in bed. I'd make them think that church and God was the most important thing in this life. And I'd set that example.
Amen.
And I'd require it.
Amen.
Wouldn't be optional.
Amen.
Wouldn't be up for debate. You say, well, preacher, if you do that, you know, when they grow up, they hate church and they'll just... What makes you think that? Now, some of them will, but some of them will do it anyway, no matter what you do. Wouldn't you rather do right and have your own hands clean and your own conscience clear and lose them than to have sat on your butt and done nothing and lose them? You know, some of them are going astray. That's just the way life is. I don't care how kind of example you set. I don't care how good you are. Some of them got a mind of their own. They're going to get up there and they're going to rebel. But not all of them.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else. I got to think about it. I heard that for years and years and years. And I didn't have a good answer. People say, well, you know, if you push religion down their throat and you make them go and you do this, they'll rebel. And of course, I'd say, well, you know, you make them go to school and this, that, and the other. And we do all that stuff. But I got to thinking, that ain't why they quit coming. That's not why they rebel. I figured that thing out. I figured out the reason them kids get up there 15, 16 where you can't do much with them and they rebel and they quit coming. I figured that thing out. You was taking an old, cold, dead church that wasn't interested. They was bored to tears. If you'd have took them someplace like this, where they could hear some fellow like me or Brother Lewis that are articulate and passionate and concerned and love God and teach the truth and expound it without fear and don't cut any corner, we would gain their respect and they would enjoy it and they would say, tuned in. They'd learn to love church. But you take them to some old dead Episcopal church or Methodist church or Southern Baptist church and half the independent Baptist church in the country and everybody's sitting there going to sleep and the preacher's talking and he's boring and he's humdrum and he don't know anything and he's got no fire and the kids don't really believe that he loves them. I'd quit too if you just want to know the truth. I don't think half of them would quit near as quick and near as easy if you'd take them someplace where the power of God was and where there was some fire and some life. Children, you ever notice this? You know how to keep kids' attention? You know what teachers do? They use what they call action songs. They have little stories or little songs that get the kids involved in it. I remember when Seth and them was little, we taught them this little song. Three little monkeys sitting in a tree, teasing Mr. Alligator, can't catch me. Long came Mr. Alligator, quiet as could be. Snap that monkey right out of that tree. Two little monkeys sitting in a tree. They loved that thing. They would sing that thing 50 times. So why? It was exciting. And it got them involved. Amen? And if you've got your youngins in a church that's exciting and powerful and they can sense the truth and they see the love, they'll like it. Amen. The best way I know to damn your kids, you put them in a church where there ain't nothing going on. You would have been better off to let them at home than to put them in a dead, worldly, compromising church. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that it is our responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, to bring them little two heads to God. And you ought to be working, and you ought to be laboring, and you ought to be praying for them younguns. You ought to find a church where God's in it and where there's a love for them little suckers and where somebody will tell them the truth. You know, kids are not near as stupid as you think. You know, you water things down and butter things up and sweeten it up, they know you're doing that. Why not just tell them the truth in the first place? Amen. We have visitors. My wife was going to be nice this morning. Be nice. And I'm just like I always am. And sometimes that's not nice. But if they come 6 weeks and then I'm ugly, they could quit anyway. Shouldn't I have just told them the truth to start with? Amen? And save both of us all that trouble. You know any young people? I'm talking about little kids. 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. You know some young people, 10, 11, 12. You know some teenagers? Let's get them in church. Let's bring them to God. Let's help teach them. Let's help train them. Let's step up to the plate and do some of the things mamas and daddies aren't doing. Amen. Let's tell them the truth. Declare the whole counsel of God. Let's pray for them. Let's put our arms around them and tell them, I love you. And then let's show them that we love them. And that we respect them. And we won't try and fool them or think they're idiots. Let's just tell them the truth, plain and unvarnished. And tell them that truth and tell them that truth with love. And see if they don't like. Let's try. Every mama, every daddy, every grandma and every grandparent in this room are to pray every day of your life for your children and to get them in church. And they'd learn about God, and they'd know about God, and they'd fall in love with God. And they won't do it. They won't do it on their own. They would much rather play volleyball and basketball and softball, and they'd rather stay up till 1 and 2 o'clock at the Saturday night watching movies and then sleep all day on Sunday. I know human nature. Human nature is just like water. It takes the path of least resistance. That's the reason mom and daddy got to stand up and be a man and a woman about it. And make your kids. See, why do you do that? Because we love them. I love them enough, I don't want to see them in hell. I'm going to tell you the honest truth, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to see my kids in hell. And I don't want to see yours there either. This pretty little girl right here, I want to make sure one of these days she walks down the streets of glory. That little boy sitting right there, just sweet and just pew the button. I love teasing and aggravating him. I don't want to have to picture in my mind him in the fires of hell. I don't want to see that. I want to see that little fella repent of his sins and receive Jesus Christ and make it home to glory one of these days. And I walk down the street to heaven and there's me and John side by side and I say, I had a hand in that. I have prayed for him. I have teach him. I have trained him. And there's one that did not perish. We all ought to be doing that. Let's bow our heads.